Recognized. Let me say, I am in the office of Mr. John Barfield, Barfield Manufacturing Company on Laurel Street. This is Wednesday, the 17th of June. John, where were you born?
I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama in 1927.
You mind giving me the date, actual date?
Yes, I was born February the 8th, 1927.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay, Mickey. Come on in.
I couldn't hear.
Oh,
I just brought all
those
the
reports.
Stuff. Yeah, these are the reports for the meeting. And these are the usual sheets.
Oh, okay.
And then, I don't want to interrupt, but if you have any questions, you can...
Okay, you're going to be here until noon?
Until noon.
Okay, Mickey.
Jack's daughter is coming for a visit, so I have to go pick her up.
Oh, I met her when she was here before.
Yeah.
Tell her hello for me.
I will.
Okay, there. Oh, yeah. Guess she want to get a shot.
If that's all right, get a couple of... It won't take very long, Mickey, if you like.
Okay. We were about to get your... did we get the actual date of your birth?
Yeah. February 8th, 1927. Come on in, bless you.
I just want to give you this... reminder about the tour tomorrow, and reservations are made at Hobbs for 5.
Today?
That's for the tour for Campbell E. Hall tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Okay, is the tour there sometime on the day?
The show is supposed to be over at 11.
Okay.
Okay, so I haven't made reservations for lunch, so if you'd like me to, just let me know.
Yeah, why don't you push it?
Okay, 400.
I know those two, me and John, possibly, say 5.
5 at Hobbs, about 12?
No, yeah, about 12.
12:30.
Between 12 and 12:30.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul. It was February the 8th, 1927, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay, okay. How many were in your family?
Well, there was my sister Gladys and I, two children.
Two children. Mm-hmm. Gladys, is she married?
Yeah, she's married now.
What's her married name?
Her last name now is Tyree, T-Y-R-E-E.
Where does she live?
She lives on Amesworth Street here in Ypsilanti.
Give me your parents' name.
My father's name was Edgar Barfield. My mother was Lena.
Lena. What was her maiden name?
James.
Lena James. Okay. You came to Ypsilanti what year?
Well, we came to Ypsilanti when I was 15 years old. I'm now 54, so that would have been in 1939. We came here... because of the bomber, you know, the war, my father worked at the bomber plant on the construction of that, and that was our reason for moving from Pennsylvania to Michigan.
Now, you came by way of Pennsylvania here.
Yeah. See, when I was 9 years old, we moved from Alabama to Washington, Pennsylvania, which is 30 miles south of Pittsburgh. And the motivation for moving from there here, my dad was a sharecropper in the south and a sometimes log worker in the logging fields. And he also worked in the coal mines, which was very unhealthy in the south, you know, with no union or very poor working conditions. And so my father caught a freight train. In those days, people didn't have any money to buy a ticket, and any traveling was done on the during the Depression. They came on the freight train. So my father came up to Pennsylvania, and we lived with my Uncle Ernest Naylor in Pennsylvania. We had 7 children, and still had the room in his heart and his house and in his heart to invite us into his place. And we stayed there until my folks could find a job. And then my father worked in the coal mines and in the steel mills of Pennsylvania, probably the most backbreaking of jobs, you know. And later on, he became a professional cook with McCann's Restaurant. He stayed there in that capacity until we moved to Ypsilanti in 1939, just at the break of 1940. The motivation there, AP, was the Kaiser Frazier, the war effort, there was employment here, and we came here. When we moved here, we moved to a house down on Hawkins Street, immediately south of the Metropolitan Baptist Church, which Reverend S.L. Robeson pastors. And we lived there, and my father worked in the aluminum plants and in the factories, and finally retired a few years ago from Burroughs, Bud Wills. But that's how we came from Alabama, Mississippi to Michigan.
Now, when you got here, you were 15.
I was 15 years old when I moved to Michigan.
Okay. So what did you do when you first got
here? Well, immediately after moving here, I enrolled in Ypsilanti High School. And I don't know, I just didn't have any particular craving for school. I was in a hurry. I got a job in the aluminum plant. I attended school until I was 16. And I quit school in the 10th grade. And when I was 17, I joined the Army. And I went to Germany for a year. And when I came back from Germany, I had no particular skills and didn't know any trade. So I took a job as a custodian at the University of Michigan, and I worked there for 6 years. And that's where I learned to clean. And I sensed that there was an opportunity in janitor work because it was something at that time that nobody was doing. So to supplement my income as a janitor at the University of Michigan, I took up residential cleaning. Eventually, we became the largest residential cleaning company this side of Detroit, and in the process developed a good name for quality work. We really did have a good service. We'd done things that no one else were doing, and we were very good. We used to clean fraternity houses, and we washed walls, and we cleaned residential homes, and sometimes when the professional people in Ann Arbor, the professors and the doctors, so would go out of the country or something, it would be my responsibility to go in and prepare their homes so that it was fresh and clean when they came back. And we built quite a service, and we're very successful. My wife Betty and I had done this out of the trunk of a car. We started this little business. We had one child when we started the business.
John.
Mm-hmm. And then one day, Mike Sincooley, who was then president of the Ypsilanti Savings Bank and Glenn Gross Bank, asked me if I would clean the savings bank on a contractual basis. And I, for a year, decided I didn't want to do that because I had a little successful business going, and I had left the University of Michigan. So I told him that I would be interested in doing that, finally. And I started doing that. That was the first contract we ever had, was the Ypsilanti Savings Bank. And from that, we built a business that was just under, $750,000 a year in sales. But it took us 14 years to get our sales. For the first 5 years that we were in business, I was looking through our old manuscripts the other day. For the first 5 years we were in business, we didn't have one job that paid us more than $1,000 at one time. And it took us 14 years to build the business to that level of sales. It's interesting because now our sales are approaching $10 million. We've been in business only 5 years, so times are better or something, you know. But we built the business over that 14 years to sales near $750,000. In 1968, we had five large corporations coming to us asking if we could sell the business to them and come to work for them. Now, that was mainly because I had written a book called The Barfield Method of Building Maintenance. And the book was a training program that captured the attention of not only a lot of corporations, but large cleaning companies. And in 1968, I was invited as a result of that book to belong to the National Association of Building Service Contractors. And I served on that board for 5 years. And during that time, word of our training school, which we had developed to train our janitors, had gotten out, because we thought if we could train our janitors and make them more efficient, we could pay them more, increase the quality of our work, and reduce the turnover of our personnel. And it worked out very well. Even then, in those days, we had people, and that was a long time ago, we had making $8,000 to $9,000 a year doing janitor work. So we built the company to where it was a very fine company with a good national reputation. And in 1968, we had the Consolidated Foods Corporation, we had the Mackey Corporation, we had the Sanitas Corporation. All of these companies came to us and said, "Mr. Barfield, we'd like to buy you out." So we sold the business to ITT in 1969, and I was 40. I was 42 years old at that time, and I worked for them for 3 years, and then I retired.
Who's been that?
and I got a little tired of that. Sold some real estate and took on some consulting work where I consulted with corporations, General Motors, Kelsey Hayes, Kerr Manufacturing, with Bechtel Corporation, on matters pertaining to cleaning effectiveness and efficiency. And when I had signed an agreement with ITT that if I elected not to continue working with them, I wouldn't compete with them for 5 years. So, and I observed that covenant religiously. In 1975, the covenant had expired and I was free to go back to work. So I started a company called Barfield Manufacturing, Barfield Cleaning Company, Barfield Building Maintenance Company, and I was immediately sued by ITT, who said, "Mr. Barfield, you can't use your name. You sold us your name, and your name has become a national trademark. And we bought that trademark, and we reserve the right to keep it." So they took us to court. And Judge Conlon in Ann Arbor said, "No, Mr. ITT, you didn't buy, you bought Mr. Barfield's services, but you can't deprive him of his birthright." So they told us that if we could continue to use our names, and we re-entered the janitorial business in 1975 as Barfield Building Maintenance Company. And that was at 124 West Michigan Avenue, be the building you know. And so we operated out of there, out of there for 5 years. And we sold it last November. We bought this building, which formerly housed the old Fruhoff Manufacturing Company and the Stove Works. This building was at one time the home of the largest industry in Ypsilanti. So we bought this building. And we have an option on the other building. There's 100,000 square feet in this building. There's 100,000 square feet in the other building. It's all on 8.5 acres of land. So we bought this in November. This is where, where we are now. In 1976, General Motors, in an effort to develop minority suppliers, gave us an opportunity to hire 6 draftsmen for 6 months with a promise to appraise the operation at the end of 6 months to see if they felt that there was a chance of our succeeding. At the end of 6 months, we had grown from the 6 people to 30 people. We moved out of the GM engineering space. They had given us free space there. We moved out of that space into Michigan Avenue and remodeled our own engineering offices. Today, we have 120 people, and we have engineering sales of better than $5 million a year. So that was kind of a success story. That excited General Motors because they felt that we had the wherewithal to put together a successful minority program. And that gave them the desire to work with us further so they can sign three machines and coal header machines that enable us to make pins for their transmissions. We took the coal header machines and heard about a factory down in North Carolina that was going out of business and was selling a lot of equipment to Taiwan. So we flew down to Taiwan, my plant manager and I, and begged the people... And we begged the people to sell us the equipment rather than shipping it across seas. And we convinced them that they should do that, and they sold the equipment to us. So we bought 25 of the same machines and brought them back. And that also excited General Motors because they saw that we were trying. And I guess I find that when you're trying, if people know you're trying, they'll help you. So we later on, they consigned another 4 pieces of equipment, and we assumed responsibility for making clutch apply rings. So every clutch apply ring that is used in every hydromatic transmission is made in our plant by our
people. You said clutch
apply.
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 Oh, okay.
I made here, and we made that. Now, all of that emanated from mainly the confidence of General Motors, and more specifically, the plant manager, George Griffith, who felt that if given an opportunity, we would take full advantage of it. The plant has grown, and everything that we have developed, and I guess now they say we're the 66th largest black company in the country, was built in 5 years. Which is distressing because it just sort of says that for the last 200 years we haven't done very much. So we're gratified, that we're recognized, but we're saddened because we have not, as a race, done more. But anyway, maybe things are changing now.
Well, for one, we never stick to anything. They grow and then they drop, and they grow and they die for some reason or other.
Well, our health and our longevity is not our total responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, if they were to withdraw at this stage their support, we would do that too.
Yeah.
All we said to them was, look, if you will give us an opportunity, we'll put together a management team that will handle it. But you've got to support us, and this is what we're trying to do. And really, this is where we are in our development.
Let's go back a little bit. I'm interested in going back to the bomber plant. In your own recollection, what do you remember about the actual employment? Now, your father worked on the bomber plant.
Yeah, he worked on the building.
Okay. After the building was completed, did he remain with them or did he move someplace else?
No, my father was in the construction business.
Oh, I see.
Not as a contractor, but as a worker.
Mm-hmm.
And when the building, when that job was finished, my father then took a job with the aluminum plant.
I see.
On River Street.
Uh-huh.
And he rose to be foreman of that facility.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me a job, which I think was the worst job in the plant, called shaking out, where you shovel hot sand into a hopper and ship the sand out of the barrel. And my job was to do that.
Uh-huh.
I think my father gave me that high job to convince me that I shouldn't be. And anyway, I did, and I was only 16 years old.
He was trying to help you.
He was trying to help me, and I was only 16 years old. And I done it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I joined the Army, and I went to, maybe tell me if that's straight.
No, that's not straight. Down a little on the left side.
Down here?
Down on the left.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Is that better? Yeah.
Then, quite straight should come up. Yeah, that, there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I forgot where I was, okay.
Well, one of the things I wanted to find out from you, do you recall the circumstances since you were here? And there were a lot of people coming in to work in the bomber plant, not on, but in the bomber
in the plant.
Plant. Mm-hmm. And I hear that many of them, after they came in, were not getting jobs there, particularly blacks.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some of them who got jobs.
Yeah.
But there were a lot who came in and didn't get jobs. And I'm wondering, I'm trying to put my finger on why. Was it actual discrimination or prejudice, or was it tied to the fact that they were perhaps so ill-trained in
no,
the background?
Nobody was trained in those days. I don't know whether there was a problem. I remember, I was only 15, and I wasn't aware of that. But what happened, there was a tremendous influx of people from all over the country, because suddenly there was work. That's why we were here.
Mm-hmm.
There was work. And people came from the South. I remember years ago, they used to call it Ipsy-Tucky.
Yeah.
But years ago, they all came up here. There was a tremendous amount of people came up. And they, the fact that there was such a need for workers sort of suggested that they weren't turning anyone away. But I don't really know really about that. I do know that when I came to Ypsilanti, there was a tremendous amount of prejudice here. There was no support at all from the banks. And all of the black people in Ypsilanti in those days built houses, built them by blocks. I mean, they'd buy cement blocks and pile them up on a line. They'd dig a hole in the ground and... Time to those guys are here. I guess we'll have to have another session.
We'll get together again.